don't mean I can't get you there. If he's an Xbox, I'm more Atari. But the way you play your game ain't fair. I've been teasing fools, falls in love with you, oh yeah. She's a gold digger. Tell your little boyfriend. I saw you driving around town with a girl I love, and I'm like, forget you, yeah. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, forget you and forget her. If I was richer, I'd still be with her. Ain't that some piece of shit? Although there's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best.
Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram time.
It's 6 o'clock.
Broadcasting 24-7 from the Stanton or Urban Studios, Appalachian Proud, Pickup Country 104.9, WSKV-FM.
Good evening and hello everyone. Welcome to Pick Your Own Adventure. Get those phones ready. I'm your host, Clarissa Arvin, the bookmobile driver at the Powell County Public Library. We're about to embark on a journey together. You can listen right here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Pickup Country 104.9 FM or online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with the WSKV FM mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. Live listeners can choose our path by texting WSKV in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. But first, beware and warning. The books you're about to hear are not like any regular books. During Pick Your Own Adventure, you and you alone are in charge of what happens next in our stories. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must be quick on your feet and ready to use your wit, talents, and bravery. The wrong decision could end in disaster, or worse. But the choice is yours. When prompted to alter the fate of the story, just text your decision in real time to WSKV at 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. Get ready to be on the edge of your seat and let's get started. So, last time we started the adventure Secret of the Ninja by Jay LeBold. In the beginning, we learned a little about the history of the ninja and samurai, but our adventure began with an ominous storm that was seemingly aimed right for us. Our friend Nada seemed to think it may be harmful intentions from a spirit long years ago. She had told us that it may be a spirit attached to a sword from an anonymous donor. She invites her sensei to help figure out what might be causing it and how to stop it from happening by finding out what the spirit wants. He decided it would be best to go back in time to figure it out. The spirit from the sword would lead us to the time and place needed to solve the problem. We go into a trance along with Nada and end up in feudal Japan, facing a samurai in full armor needing help defending a village from Yakuza enemies. He decided to help the samurai defend the village. To find out, the samurai's name is Sashami, and once we helped him defend the village, he said that he was at our service and would help us find the Miyatori clan, whose markings were on the sword. We found that the Miyatori's clan leader, Sachiro, is in a duel and at the clan's castle. Will we be able to find out what the spirit haunts the sword, or will the dangers of feudal Japan consume us? Let's continue and find out. Before you reach the castle, you hear a yell from the woods. Cautiously, the three of you dismount and investigate. You come upon a clearing in which two ninja are facing off against each other. Each has a sword. They kneel and bow, then slowly approach one another. "That's Sachiro," Sashimi whispers. "He's got the sword, and one that's at the dojo now," you add. You grab Sashimi's sword from him, ready to rush out and help the other ninja, but then you wonder if it's a good idea. Maybe you should let the two ninja fight it out themselves. If you go ahead into the clearing, text the number 120. If you stay back, text the number 116. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to stay back. Nada grabs you at the same moment that you decide to stay back. "We can't meddle," she says. "The other ninja will do better without us." "I know," you reply. The battle between the two ninja begins. You can barely follow the quick succession of sword moves, parries, and jumps before the other ninja cuts down Sanchiro. Sashami leaps out to congratulate the ninja, but when the ninja sees him, he runs into the woods. You and Nada creep into the clearing. "Listen," you say. "Sinchiro's saying something." You hear Sinchiro's dying words. "A curse of revenge on the Kurayami family. Nada's family. The other ninja must have been my ancestor," Nada says. "We've witnessed the origin of Kami's vow of revenge. When our dojo got the sword, it must have set the vow into action." "Can we counteract it?" you ask. "We can try," Nada says. She goes through a series of finger signs, similar to the ones you saw when she brought you into the past with her. When she has finished, she turns to you and says, "Even if my Kuji doesn't work, now we know the origin of the curse. I think we'll be able to offset it with the sensei's help." Meanwhile, Sashami returns and says sheepishly, I guess I scared away the ninja." "No matter," you say. "Without our help, we never could have solved your problem." You say goodbye to Sashami and prepare to return to the dojo. The end. Now on to our next adventure, Pirate Treasure of the Onyx Dragon by Allison Gilligan. You and your younger sister, Hannah, spot your Aunt Lydia at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport as you exit customs. She is waving her handkerchief in your direction as she calls, "Oh, yoo-hoo, here I am!" Aunt Lydia is your father's older sister. During the school year, you and Hannah live in Egypt. On weekends, you work in archaeological digs. Although you are young, your knowledge of Egyptian hieroglyphics is a valuable tool on these digs. Ever since your father disappeared on a dig several years ago, your aunt has insisted that you and Hannah spend your summers at the family house on San Juan Island. Dusty trenches in foreign countries during blazing hot summers are no place for you and your younger sister, she maintains. While you're away on San Juan Island, your mother continues to work on the dig, thinking your aunt's invitation for the two of you to spend summer in a cooler climate is a splendid idea. Every time you return to the majestic beauty of this Pacific Northwest, you agree. Aunt Lydia commandeers a recap of your luggage, and the three of you walk in out into the bright sunshine. Whenever you see sun in Seattle, you smile to yourself. Although it definitely rains in Pacific Northwest, summers seem to be sunny and comfortably warm. Lydia is a famous art historian, known around the world for her expertise in Asian art. Within your family, she is known for being rather eccentric. She has a strange style of dressing. Today, Aunt Lydia looks like she's heading off on a safari. Leather boots, a green linen shirt and jacket, a pith helmet, and a pointed walking stick. She is quite unusual, but she is also your favorite relative. Last summer, you found your father's high school diary at the bottom of an attic trunk. In it, he wrote about his research of a treasure ship that sank off the coast of San Juan Island. Day 63. In my search for the sunken ship, the Onyx Dragon. have told Lydia about my discovery of Great Uncle McGregor's letter. She seemed strangely upset and tried to warn me against continuing my search. As a precaution, I have ripped the directions off the bottom of the letter and hidden them. I don't want any more of Lydia's pesky interference with my plans. According to the research you've done over the past year on the Onyx Dragon, has never been found. You've spent hours trolling the internet for ancient Northwest shipping routes, ship cargo manifests, and tales of unrecovered treasure and downed boats. You subscribe to an amazing wreck website, granting you access to maritime charts, wreck data, and recovered artifact database. You've even discovered an obscure nautical archive that keeps records of violent storms and the ships they've claimed. The Onyx Dragon is prominently featured in the year 1852. All year long, you've been planning to continue your father's search for the ship. Any chance we'll be look for that treasure ship, the Onyx Dragon? You ask Aunt Lydia, hopefully. For a moment, your aunt looks stunned as she whisks you off to San Juan Island in her vintage 1969 Lamborghini Isolaro. The ship has been down on the bottom of the Sound for more than 130 years. If one has found it yet, I doubt they ever will. She laughs darkly and presses her foot down on the accelerator. Her car careens around the corners. At times, you swear that her vehicle is traveling one on two wheels. You try to calm your nerves by making more conversation. Come on, Aunt Lydia. Tell me what you know about the sinking of the treasure ship, you shout above the roar of the engine. Aunt Lydia turns her still gray eyes on you now. She slows enough for her voice to be heard. The Onyx Dragon has landed with precious cargo. Your great-great-uncle McGregor, the captain, was steering her through the Strait de Juan de Fuca. The strait is the passageway from the ocean to Puget Sound. It's peppered with over 400 islands, less than half of which are visible at high tide. She pauses and stares into the distance. The year was 1852. The ship broke up and sank during a fierce storm. For years, explorers from all over the world have been searching for the Onyx Dragon's treasure, without any luck. She pauses for a moment. That is all I know. Your gut tells you she's hiding something. Strange, you think. Your father's diary made it sound like Aunt Lydia knew a whole lot more. Sometime this summer, you vow to yourself, I'm going to find out what she's hiding, and why. Hannah looks at you, her flaming red hair whipping in the wind. Her eyes twinkle mischievously. That ship's just waiting for us to discover it, she whispers. After another hour of Aunt Lydia's Formula One driving, and one tranquil ferry ride later, the family's enormous Victorian summer home, which Aunt Lydia now holds the title to, stands before you. It's three stories high with lots of gables, turrets, and gingerbread trim. It sits on a bluff overlooking the churning water below. A small boathouse is nestled in a grove of mandrona trees at the shore. I just love this house, Hannah exclaims, jumping out of the car. It's so beautiful and big. You could get lost in it. Sometimes, Aunt Lydia muses mysteriously, even without trying. The house seems to hold many mysteries and memories. Wandering through its vast rooms, you feel closer to your father, knowing he spent his childhood summers here. Once again, you feel a sharp hollow in your chest, the way you always feel when you realize how much you miss him. On the fifth day of your visit, while exploring the house with Hannah, you lean against a giant urn with your grandfather's study. Suddenly, the wall next to the urn silently swings open, revealing a short, dark passageway. Hannah races down the passageway. You quickly follow. The passageway leads to a small room with leather-covered walls. It looks as if nothing in the room has been touched for years. Glancing around, you see shelves of old books, a large oak desk covered with dust, an ancient navigational telescope propped against the wall in an enormous mirror in an ornate gilded frame. "This looks like a secret study," Hannah says. One small window looks out over the bay. Furious waves smash against the black rocks below. You run your hand along the mirror's trim, admiring the gilt frame. Suddenly, it slips off the wall and crashes to the floor. "Oh, no!" Hannah wails. 7 years of bad luck. You pick up the shards of glass and crawl under the desk to get a large piece. You bump your head on the bottom of the desk. Just as you're about to howl out in pain, you look up. "Wow!" you cry. "Look what I just found!" Hannah crawls next to you for a better look. Two sheets of tea-colored paper are pinned to the bottom of the desk, you discover. You unpin the papers, crawl out, and spread them out on the floor. "Look at all these weird arrows and signs," Hannah says. "This looks like it's written in some ancient language." "Hardly," you reply with a certain smugness. "It's just written backwards. Look," you hold up a piece of mirror, beginning translating the writer's words. "Listen to this," you begin excitedly. "Dearest Mariah, I am writing this on my deathbed. There is a family secret that has haunted me for a long time. It will not take it to my grave. It has to do with our brother MacGregor's ship, the Onyx Dragon. On a cold, blustery eve in 1852, his vessel had nearly reached its final destination, Seattle. The trip from Shanghai, China, had been rough and difficult, and MacGregor was anxious as his ship was carrying a large cache of precious stones and gold, as well as the infamous emerald of the Star of Asia. The treasures had been recovered from the infamous pirate Lucy Morell, whose craft, the Compass Rose, had been discovered a week earlier in the trip, capsized and sinking. As MacGregor steered the ship through the Strait of Juan de Fuca, a fierce storm blew down from the north. The Onyx Dragon was wrecked in the storm, and everyone on board drowned. The ship was thought to have run aground near. The remainder of the first page had been torn off. "Hannah, do you know what this is?" you say excitedly. "This is the letter Dad discovered while searching for the ship. The bottom's ripped off, just like he wrote in his diary." "Who wrote the letter?" Hannah asks quickly. "And who is Mariah?" "Let's see," you say, thumping through the pages for your father's diary you keep with you at all times. "According to the family tree Dad drew, Mariah was MacGregor's baby sister. She was only 2 years old when he died in the shipwreck. That means the letter must have been written by MacGregor's twin brother, Sean." "Read the second page of the letter," Hannah says eagerly. "Well, there appear to be three clues," you read aloud. "There's a map hidden beneath the boathouse near the Madrona tree. It was thrown in a bottle from the ship moments before the Onyx Dragon sank. Find the Indian mountain spirit. He witnessed the sinking of the Onyx Dragon from high atop Mount Dallas. He can show you where the ship went down. Watch for mysterious lights in the night sky every year on the anniversary of the ship sinking. Discover what they mean, and the treasure will be yours. This is the break we've been waiting for," you ask. Or you say, "Which clue should we start with?" Hannah asks. "If you decide to search for the map beneath the boathouse, text the number 12. If you decide to begin the searching for Mountain Spirit's descendants, text the number 20. If you choose to pursue the mysterious lights, text the number 24. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Country gets around, and we have the post to prove it. Like WSKV-FM on Facebook and let us know where you're listening from.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey, this is Chris Schaus. Team Kentucky says all gatherings are defined by the CDC as 10 or more people should be canceled or avoided. You can help stop the spread of infection. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to choose to pursue the mysterious lights. The anniversary of the sinking is coming up. If you don't see how we can pass up the chance to investigate the mysterious lights, you say. Even Dad mentioned them in his diary. You pick up the diary and read out loud. Have heard old Belgrade down at the fairy folk about the lights on the anniversary of the Onyx Dragon's demise. Last year, a fierce storm prevented me from venturing out to see them. This year, nothing can stop me. Did he see them that year? Hannah asks. I don't know, you reply. He stopped writing in his diary 2 days before the anniversary. I think maybe we should do a little bit more snooping around in here. Maybe we'll find some more clues. You and Hannah spend the next few days hunting through your great-great-uncle's study. So far, you've looked through all the desk drawers and bookshelves and found nothing. One last look around and then let's quit, Hannah says. The anniversary of the sinking of the Onyx Dragon is only 3 days away. Okay, you reply, glancing around. Now let's see. If I were going to hide something in this room, I'd put it in there. You leap towards the nautical telescope. Removing the leather lens cap of the telescope, you peer inside. I found it, you cry. You pull out a wrinkled yellow newspaper article from the Seattle Post Intelligence. Listen to this, you say with excitement. June 27th, 1855. There is a mystery brewing in Paris this summer that has set many tongues a-wagging. It seems that none other than Miss Daisy Dumas was spotted at the opera with other night wearing a large diamond brooch shaped like a dragon. Which makes this story so intriguing is that the brooch was supposedly one of the treasures of the Onyx Dragons that sank off the northwest coast of Washington at mere 3 summers ago. Could it be that part of the elusive treasure has been discovered and sold without anyone knowing? This is a mystery indeed. What does it mean? Hannah asks. I don't know, you reply, but I bet Aunt Lydia might. You head out of the study to find your aunt. She's in her flower garden, pruning roses. Hello, you two, she merrily sings out. Aren't these roses beauties? Not bad, you say, barely glancing at the flowers. Tell us more about the Onyx Dragon, Aunt Lydia. Aunt Lydia turns and stares at you, blinking rapidly. I already told you everything I know, she says in a serious tone. There's nothing more to say, really. Well, according to Dad's diary, there's a lot more, you say. For instance, why didn't you mention the letter to Mariah that Dad told you about? Aunt Lydia's face turns ashen. I'd forgotten about it, she says. Besides, you two would be better off leaving certain stones unturned, if you know what I mean. She marches off, pruning scissors in hands. Aunt Lydia's acting kind of funny, Hannah says. Maybe it's just the old family memories, you say quietly. Oh, well, we better start planning for the anniversary. I want to be there if those lights appear. Finally, the anniversary of the sinking of the Onyx Dragon arrives. After breakfast that morning, Aunt Lydia calls you into her study. "I have to go to the East Coast for a few days," she says. "The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York wants me to authenticate a Chinese scroll before they purchase it. I'll be back before you know it." She smiles at you and goes upstairs to pack. At dusk that evening, after Aunt Lydia has left, you and Hannah load up Aunt Lydia's motorboat with blankets and food and head into the Haro Strait. From your research, you know the general area where the ships sank. You anchor your boat near Dead Man's Bay and wait for something to happen. The sky turns from gray to purple to deep blue, then starts to begin to appear. A full moon rises from the east. Surveying the horizon, you see nothing. Suddenly, Hannah calls out, "Look! Over there! In the distance! A glow!" On the far horizon, you spot them. 10, 20, 30 glowing lights are slowly moving towards you. They are bright orange and oval-shaped. A shiver runs down your spine. As you stare silently at the approaching lights, you hear a droning sound. You turn to the north and see a small boat heading towards the bay. The light of the moon illuminates the driver's face. "It's Aunt Lydia!" you gasp in surprise. "She must have borrowed the boat from the Zoot at the dive shop. What on earth is she doing here?" The mysterious glowing lights begin to move to the south. You wonder if you should follow them or follow Aunt Lydia's boat. If you follow Aunt Lydia's boat, text the number 51. If you follow the mysterious lights, text the number 67. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Serving East Central Kentucky. Tell Pickup Country 104.9 what's coming up in your community or church at WSKVFM.com under Community. WSKVFM, Faith, Family, Community.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works towards its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at the Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network Bookmobile Wireless and use the same password for the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcplky.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcplky.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe and social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey, this is Rachel Crow. The Kentucky Department of Health and Family Services say nursing homes and other long-term care providers are advised to restrict access to visitors and consult CDC guidelines for long-term care facilities. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to follow Aunt Lydia's boat. Your curiosity about your aunt, who is supposed to be on her way to New York, gets the better of you. Let's follow Aunt Lydia, you say to Hannah. It looks like she's going to Blakely Island. You come about and follow Aunt Lydia's boat towards the island. She steers into a small cove, lands her boat on a rocky beach, and strides toward a wooden lean-to. A 12-foot speedboat is anchored near the shore. Cut the engine and pull into the next inlet, Hannah says. We can backtrack through the woods. It looks like she's going to meet someone in the shelter. You tie your boat to a large fir tree and an inlet downshore. As quickly as possible, you and Hannah creep back through the dark woods. Soft pine needles blanket the ground, muffling the sound of your footsteps. Approaching the shelter, you hear voices. We refuse to wait any longer, a man's heavily accented voice says. The article has been written. If you don't keep your end of the bargain, I'll see that it gets published in newspapers across the country. You and Hannah sneak closer to the shelter to better eavesdrop on the conversation inside. I told you, Lee Wall. I'll give it to you, Aunt Lydia says nervously. But when I hand it over, I want the article and all the drafts. So help me, Lee-Wa, if any of this leaks out, I don't think you're in position to threaten me, Miss Lydia, Lee-Wa replies. I'll be waiting for you tomorrow at noon at 656 South King in Chinatown. If I were you, I wouldn't be late. Lee-Wa goes back to his speedboat and heads out into the strait. Aunt Lydia watches him for a minute, heaves a deep sigh, and returns to her boat. After she leaves, Hannah asks you, "What was that about?" "I'm not sure," you reply, "but I think Aunt Lydia is in a lot of trouble. Something about the name Lee-Wa rings a bell." "Maybe we should follow him," Hannah says. "If we can find out why he's blackmailing Aunt Lydia, we might be able to help." "We'd better hurry then," you say. "He's got a 5-minute head start." Back in your motorboat, you steer southwest towards Seattle. You push the throttle to the limit and keep your eye on the lights of the speedboat in the distance. Slowly, the Seattle skyline comes into view on the horizon. An hour later, you dock at Pier 52, just west of Chinatown. You and Hannah are familiar with Chinatown from past visits. You race up the pier past the Wing Luke Museum, heading towards the Danny Wu International District Gardens. As you round the corner of Maynard and King, you see Lee-Wa standing near an arched doorway. Above the door is a discreet sign. Lee-Wa disappears inside. "Let's follow him," Hannah says. "Not so fast," you reply. "We don't want him to know he's being trailed." You steer your sister into the Jade Garden restaurant across the street from the building. Suddenly, you realize you are starving. You take a booth next to the window and order hot and sour soup, spring rolls, and crab with black bean sauce. "Can you see what the brass plate above the doorway says, Hannah?" you ask, slurping your soup. "Well, let's see. It says the Shewa Family Association," Hannah replies. "Shewa?" you exclaim. "No wonder the name sounded so familiar. That's the name of the family that chartered the Onyx Dragon in 1852. It must mean that Lee-Wa has something on Aunt Lydia." "I can't imagine that," Hannah says, "but I think we should do a little investigation before tomorrow's meeting." A few minutes later, you see Lee-Wa leaving the building. You quickly pay for your tab and cross the street and enter the Shewa building. As you approach the front desk, you can't help but notice the decor. The walls are covered with red silk, faded from the sunlight. From them hang exotic Chinese woodblock prints of country scenes. The carpet is forest green. The scent of jasmine incense hangs heavy in the air. A small Chinese man in a dark suit sits behind the desk, regarding you impassively. As soon as you ask about Liwao, the man's face goes pale. "One moment, please. I will get someone to help you." He quickly disappears behind a heavy black velvet curtain. He returns a minute later with two burly men at his side. One of the men grabs your arm. "Please, follow me," he growls. There's nothing polite about his request. The man leads you and Hannah into a small room. Here, the walls are covered with shiny gold patterned fabric. An ornate, gilded throne takes up most of the room. Upon the throne is an elegant woman, seated with perfect posture. She is dressed in a long red silk robe trimmed in gold. Her fingers are adorned with emerald and ruby rings, and around her neck is a choker of diamonds. She scrutinizes you and closely before speaking. "What do you want with Liwa?" she asks in a stern tone.
"We just wanted to ask him some questions," you reply quietly. "We don't want to cause him any trouble."
"You cause him trouble? Ha!" the woman laughs scornfully. "That boy has been nothing but trouble since the day he was born." She leans forward and peers at you. "I am his Auntie Xinhua. I am head of the Xinhua Family Association." "You can trust me," she continues in a hushed tone. "Now tell me, why do you really want to see Liwa?" "If you decide to trust Xinhua, text the number 77. If you feel you should not trust her, text the number 82. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Pick Up Country 104.9. Preset us on your radio. We're your community station serving Powell, Estill, Montgomery, Clark, Lee, Bath, Menifee, Owsley, and Wolf counties.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pick Up Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey, this is Hannah Wheeler. You can help stop the spread of germs by practicing social distancing, staying about 6 feet from others, especially those who are sick. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided that we feel that we should not trust her.
Anyone related to Liwa can't be trusted, you think to yourself.
Really, we just wanted to ask him some questions, you say casually to Xinhua.
Nothing important. We'll try to catch up with him another time.
You and Hannah scurry towards the door. Back on the street, you discuss your next move.
Maybe we should make a few discreet inquiries in the local restaurants, you say.
Someone might know where he lives. We could then pay him a surprise visit.
Hannah agrees, and together you stroll into a crowded restaurant named House of Hong, one block north. Waiters zoom by with steaming carts of dim sum. Finally, you catch the hostess's eye.
Party of two? She asks impatiently.
Actually, we're here looking for a friend, you say.
Maybe you've heard of him? Liwa?
The woman glances nervously over her shoulder.
Sure, I know him, she says.
She stares at you, silently, then smiles.
Wait 10 minutes. I'll take you over to his gambling club when I go on a break. She disappears into the kitchen. 15 minutes later, you are standing with the woman and Hannah in a dark alley, looking for the club entrance. I can't believe a club would be in such a dark place, Hannah says nervously. I think maybe we just better head back. Not so fast, a man behind you says. You recognize Leewa's voice. Who are you? What do you want with me? Lydia is our aunt, Hannah says defiantly. Oh, she is she? Leewa says with a sinister smile. Well, prepare for a little voyage. I don't need the two of you around tomorrow to mess things up. He turns towards the woman. Song, see that these two get packed on aboard the ship to Shanghai. We're leaving tomorrow afternoon, and I want them out of the way. You turn to run. Leewa grabs your wrist and covers your mouth with a cloth. It smells sickly sweet. A second before you pass out, you realize it's either. You wake up, seated in a chair and your hands tightly bound behind your back. You have a pounding headache. You listen for a moment. Judging by the sound of the powerful engines below, you are on a freight ship. The room has a small porthole. As your eyes adjust to the light, you spot Hannah, tied to a chair 10 feet away. You slowly rock your chair towards her. Hannah, sit still, you say as she awakens. I'm going to try to untie the ropes behind your hands. After half an hour of struggling, you finally manage to free your sister's hands. She quickly does the same for you. You both rush to the porthole. There are no landmarks, only water. We must be in the middle of the ocean, Hannah says fearfully. Glancing down, you see a lifeboat on the deck. That's our only hope for escape, you say, pointing towards the small craft. We have to get off this ship. Maybe we can just wait until we get to Shanghai, Hannah says. We have no supplies, no nautical charts, no radio or satellite, or... Hannah, there's no guarantee they won't throw us overboard before we even get to Shanghai, you say. But... You have to admit, your sister has a point. Listen, you continue. I have my cell phone with a GPS app. The battery is over half full. It should be enough. If you change your mind and decide to wait, text the number 123. If you decide your best hope is to escape now, text the number 127. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided... that we change our mind and wait. Think about it, Hannah pleads. We'd never last a week out on the ocean. We don't even know where we are. Reluctantly, you agree. Well, we'd better tie ourselves up to these chairs again, you say. We don't want to give ourselves away. Suddenly, you hear footsteps approach. You quickly arrange your chairs into their former positions and loosely tie the rope around your hands behind you. Shutting your eyes, you pretend you're asleep. The door opens, and two figures enter. See, I told you, a woman says. She sounds like Song. They're still out of it. Those sedatives we gave them will keep them out for at least another 12 hours. You had better be right, Leewa says sternly. When we pull into port tonight, I don't want either one of them to be seen. Help me pack them out into the banana crates. I'll try to bribe the customs officials to let them pass by unopened. Song doesn't seem to notice how loose the ropes are when she unties your hands. Squinting between your eyelashes, you watch as she maneuvers two large banana crates towards your chairs. You let your body go limp as she and Leewa can pick you up and lower you into the crate. We should nail these shut, Leewa says. No, Song says. The latches will work just fine. Besides, what if we need to dispose of our hidden cargo quickly? It's easier for us. Good thinking, Liwa replies with a sinister tone. He secures the crate's latches. Slowly, you open your eyes. Between the crate's wooden slats, you catch a glimpse of Hannah's being lowered inside her crate. Once Song and Liwa have left the room, you whisper to Hannah, "Don't say a thing until we're on the dock. We don't want to blow our cover. Then, when I give a signal, make as much noise as possible." You wait in a banana crate impatiently. It seems to take forever before you pull into a port. Finally, you can feel the ship slow down. Within minutes, the vessel has come to a complete stop, and the door opens. Two large men lift your crate and place it on a dolly. Hannah's crate is placed on top of yours, and the two of you are wheeled from the room. Peeking between the slats, you can see that you're being offloaded onto a large dock. Chinese men dressed in short coats and worn pants swarm around the dock, unloading crates onto a conveyor belt. The belt feeds into a small building. "Customs" is written above the doorway in the Chinese and in English. Impatiently, you wait your turn. Finally, Hannah's crate is lifted and placed on the conveyor belt. You ride several feet behind her. You pass through a small dark tunnel and merge into a main holding area. Liwa is talking to two customs officials up ahead. As you approach, their voices become clear. "That about does it," Liwa says. "These are the last two banana crates. If you'll just sign these papers, I can be on my way." "Now," you hiss to Hannah. With all your might, you kick your feet against the crate's wooden slats. They break in half with a loud snap, and you clamber out. Hannah begins screaming at the top of her lungs. The stunned customs officials don't seem to notice. Liwa, running towards the exit. "Get him," you cry. "He's trying to escape." Three security men grab Liwa and hold on to him, while a customs officials calls the police. As you wait for them to arrive, you tell the official how you came to be packed in a banana crate. "I'm willing to bet that a lot more of those crates contains something other than bananas," you add. Sure enough, when the customs men open up the rest of the crates, they find everything from stolen art to smuggled jewels and drugs. Liwa is hauled off to the Shanghai police station, and you and Hannah are proclaimed heroes. The Chinese government presents you with a medal, and then the U.S. ambassador takes care of all the arrangements for your return to Seattle. Before you get on the airplane, the ambassador hands you an envelope. This was found in Liwa's possession. Apparently, it belongs to your aunt. "You might want to find out how he got it," he says discreetly. Suddenly, you remember the mysterious lights and how you got into all of it in the first place. "There are a lot of things I'm hoping Aunt Lydia can explain," you whisper to Hannah. The end.
Pick Up Country 104.9, serving Winchester, Campton, Sand Hill, the Red River Gorge, Proctor, Red Lick, Richmond, Jackson, St. Helens, and Palmer. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works toward its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password, PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network Bookmobile Wireless and use the same password from the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public just yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcply.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcply.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey, this is Anna Klein.
And John Looney.
We're Grits and Soul. You can help stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Please avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth.
If you wear a mask, bandana, or scarf to cover your face, be sure to cover your nose and mouth.
Be cautious about touching your face while adjusting it throughout the day, and wash your hands regularly or wear gloves to prevent further spreading of germs.
Stay well.
This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
Now on to our next adventure, Inca Gold by Jim Beckett. It's past midnight, and you're struggling to stay awake in front of the computer screen. For as long as you can remember, you've been fascinated by ancient civilizations. A few years ago, using a home computer, you deciphered the ancient Egyptian tablet Rhondus X. As a result, you were awarded the prestigious Youth Archaeologist Research Grant. You and your friend Sally, whose father is an engineer for NASA, have been working for months on a special computer program. Your program is designed to analyze highly detailed NASA satellite photos of the Earth's surface in order to detect evidence of ancient ruins hidden beneath desert sands or jungle foliage. While you're interested in all ancient civilizations, Sally is particularly interested in the Incas of Peru. She went to grade school in Peru, where her father worked at a satellite tracking station. There she became fascinated by those ancient people who worshipped the sun. The Incans considered gold to be the sweat of the sun, and silver the tears of the moon, and at one time they ruled an area of South America larger than Texas. You programmed the computer with all known Incan building styles and settlement patterns. Now the computer whirs as it scans photos of remote jungles, Peru, areas of the ancient empire of the Incas. The computer suddenly beeps. A straight line appears on the screen. Your program is based on finding straight lines, because straight lines indicate that people have altered nature. "Hey, all right," you shout, and Sally rushes to pull a corresponding NASA photo from the files. You can't see any lines on the photo, nor indications of any Incan-style buildings. Sally scans the photo with a magnifying glass. "There is something. Look here." You look at the photo again and glance back at the computer. Could this line of dots on a computer screen point the way to the fabled ancient Incan lost city of gold? That's where the Incans hid the priceless royal treasure for being defeated by their Spanish conquerors more than 470 years ago. It's probably the remains of a farmer's cattle pen or rare rock formation, Sally says as she studies a large map and locates the place close to where two rivers join in an isolated valley. "No! Look how extensive it is. It has to be the ruins of the city. Maybe even the lost city of gold," you exclaim. "I'm afraid those stories of a city of gold are just old legends," Sally says. "The only way to find out is to go there," you point out. "You're joking, right?" Sally counters. "No, we have the grant money. What better way to use it?" you reply. No, I mean, that's the Soledad region. It's called the Green Hell for good reason. Hundreds of explorers have died in there. The few who survived came out crazy. Sally shudders at the thought. But we know just where we have to go. It could be a great archaeological discovery of the century, you exclaim. That wouldn't be all that hard considering we're only a couple decades into the new century, Sally teases. Sally likes to be very precise. Sometimes it can be a little annoying, especially when you want to be as excited as you are. Come on, Sally. You know what I mean. It's got to be the treasure hunt of a lifetime. You're distracted from your enthusiasm by a passing shadow. Someone's outside the glass door of the computer room. Hey! You call towards the door. The shadow moves. You run out in time to see a man darting down the hall. Sally reaches your side. I bet it's the same person who broke into our filing cabinet last week. You know your program is the envy of other treasure seekers, especially those who see it as a way to get rich quick. If he was listening, you know we've discovered the lead to Peru, you say. But he doesn't know where. I'm tired of looking at a computer screen. Let's prove our program really works. Let's go to Peru, and let's hope we're not followed. You and Sally look out the window of your plane as it makes its final approach to the airport in Cuzco, Peru. The sun glimmers off the roofs of the city, which was once the capital of Inca Empire. Towards the east, the snow-capped mountains of the Andes rise over 20,000 feet. Sally is flipping through a book about the Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro. It's incredible how many people Pizarro killed because he was so greedy for gold. It says here, she says as she points to a paragraph in the book, and when Pizarro came to Peru in 1532, he invited the Inca emperor Atahualpa to a banquet. The Incas came unharmed. Pizarro and his soldiers slaughtered all the emperor's men and took him prisoner. You've read over history books that tell the same story, but you listen to Sally anyway. You remind yourself that you're not motivated by greed. After all, you wouldn't keep the gold. It will all go to a museum, if you find it, that is. Sally continues reading. Atahualpa offered to buy his freedom by filing a large room he was in with gold. But Pizarro strangled Atahualpa before the gold arrived, you interrupted. And the porters who were bringing the priceless royal treasure to the Spanish hid the gold that they were carrying. It was never found, Sally looks at you expectantly. Until we came along, that is, you say optimistically. If our computer program is on target, we'll find the lost city of gold. As your plane taxis towards the terminal, you see an all-black jet. A golden puma with emerald eyes is painted on the nose of the jet. You recognize a symbol. It's the mark of the ancient Incas. Whose plane is that? You ask, passing flight attendant. Paul Leduc's. She answers as she hurries by. You've heard of an eccentric billionaire recluse. Paul Leduc is obsessed with collecting the world's greatest art treasures. Treasures he allows no one else to view. And now, as you watch Leduc's plane, you see a familiar-looking man descending the plane step. Isn't that Professor Malodor? You say, pointing to the man out to Sally. It could be. It looks like him, Sally agrees. But I thought he was still in jail for smuggling art objects out of Egypt. Sally's expression changes suddenly. Do you think it's Malodor that broke into our files? She asks. Maybe that's why he's with Leduc. They've come to steal the gold. And with that, we will continue next week. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for Pick Your Own Adventure, and I hope you'll join me again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here live on Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV or online at listenlikealocal.com.
If you missed us this time, remember you can listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app or from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. I wonder what crazy situations we'll get ourselves into next time here on Pick Your Own Adventure. Remember, you are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Be sure to tune in next time, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Until then, stay safe out there and be healthy at home, my fellow adventurers. This is Clarissa Arvin, Bookmobile Librarian at the Powell County Public Library, signing off.